We are in the third week of a six-week series looking at what are called the covenant affirmations. Here at Community Covenant Church, we are part of a denomination, and the denomination is the Evangelical Covenant Church. And people will ask sometimes, well, what does the Evangelical Covenant Church believe? What do they stand on? And it's one of the easy ways to talk about what the covenant church is about is to look at what are called the six affirmations. And each of the weeks, we look at a different one, and the artists in our midst have put together paintings to represent each of the affirmations. And so the first week, and you can see the five that we're not talking about this morning over on that wall. And the first week, we looked at the first affirmation, which is the centrality of the Word of God. Last week, Justin was preaching on the necessity of new birth. This morning, we're with this image, and the image that is up on the screen, and we are looking at the third affirmation, which is we affirm a commitment to the whole mission of the church. We affirm a commitment to the whole mission of the church. And you might think, oh, what perfect timing. Didn't you just get back from a mission trip to Mexico? To which I go, yes, we did just get back from a mission trip in Mexico. And yes, it was fantastic on so many levels. Those of you that were financially supporting the trip, all of the projects were completed. For those of you that were praying for the trip, know that your prayers were not only heard, they were answered in fantastic ways. Here's the thing. Sometimes when we talk about mission, we turn our attention to short-term missions and think we understand. Don't get me wrong, I love short-term mission trips. I have taken groups on short-term mission trips to at least 10 different countries. I love short-term mission trips, but sometimes short-term mission trips cloud our understanding of what mission is rather than provide clarity. And so we're going to wrestle with that a little bit this morning about what it means to be a people that affirm a commitment to the whole mission of the church. If you were to go on the website or when you leave today, you'll get a bookmark that has the longer description of the affirmation, or you can go to any of the paintings because any of the paintings have them at the bottom. You would read this about what it means to affirm a commitment to the whole mission of the church. The early covenanters, and I'm going to stop right there. The early covenanters, remember our denomination started in about 1885, a bunch of Swedish immigrants. The early covenanters were known as mission friends, people of shared faith who came together to carry out God's mission both far and near. Mission for them and for us includes evangelism, Christian formation, and ministries of compassion, mercy, and justice. We follow Christ's two central calls. The Great Commission sends us out into all of the world to make disciples. The Great Commandment calls us to love the Lord our God and our neighbor as ourselves. Couple words on this. The early covenanters were called mission friends. When the denomination started, they didn't come together in a room and go, okay, what should we call ourselves? And the answer was not, let's call ourselves the Evangelical Covenant Church. That was not the original name. They were known as mission friends. You'll notice on the cross behind me, this was the verse that was used at that meeting in 1885. It's taken out of Psalm 119. I am a friend to anyone who fears you, anyone who obeys your laws. The idea was this. Wait, you fear and love the Lord? Me too. Let's do things together. What should we do? We should be on mission. This was the covenant church. This is how it started. I'm a friend of anyone who goes, yeah, you love Jesus too? Rock on, let's do this and see where God takes us. This is how the covenant church started. Small group Bible studies that were asking the question, where is it written and how is your walk with Jesus? That turned into that question, which turned into a term, mission friends. And from the very beginning of the covenant church, mission has been at the center. Now, you'll notice towards the end of this description that it says the great commandment, and it says the great commission. We'll get back to that in just a second. If you continue to read about the early days of the covenant church, one of the things that came to the forefront and remains at the forefront today is this statement: the church exists by doing mission. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Those of you that are using your bulletins, you can fill in the blanks and such. The church exists by doing mission. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Take it in reverse order for a moment and see how tragic it can become. Because if you just take that, the beginning of the statement that says the church exists by doing mission, if you reverse that a bit and go, so if the church does not do mission, does that mean the church will cease to exist? Yes. The church exists by doing mission. You've heard me say this before. You've heard me say the following line before. You can never say, I am a follower of Jesus, but I don't participate in mission. Because at the moment you say, I don't participate in mission, at that moment you stop following Jesus. You might believe in Jesus, so that's probably a more accurate statement. I believe in Jesus, but I don't participate in mission. But you cannot say, I am a follower of Jesus, and I don't participate in mission. Because if you're following Jesus, guess what? You're participating in mission. I have watched churches die before. No church that I've been in, thankfully. But I've watched churches die. Literally end up closing their doors. And there are lots of different factors that could lead to that. Two of the factors that tend to lead toward a church closing their doors, one is pettiness. That'll do some serious work in a church. But the other is a lack of understanding, commitment, and involvement in mission. As soon as a church stops being about mission, it stops being the church that we were called to be. And that is a real good way to watch a church slowly implode and collapse on itself. The church exists by doing mission, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And if you're not familiar with those terms, Great Commandment, Great Commission, those are both coming out of Jesus' words in the gospel. The Great Commandment, one of the places you'll find it in Matthew 23 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. It's what's commonly referred to as the Great Commandment. And can be reduced very simply to love God, love people. Love God, love people. The Great Commission found in the 28th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's often referred to as the Great Commission. It can be reduced to this. Go make disciples. So if you take the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, it can be summed up this way. Love God, love people, go make disciples. This is the foundation upon which, as covenanters, we understand what mission is. Here's the problem. When we think about mission, we are prone to think about mission using either or language instead of both and language. I'll show you what I mean. What is mission about? Is it about the Great Commandment, or is it about the Great Commission? And you would look at me and go, it's not an either or. It's a both and. If we separate them, our idea of mission is going to be somewhat fractured. But when it comes to mission, we tend to think this way. We get into either ors instead of both ands. Here's an example for you. Mission, is it about evangelism Or is it about compassion, mercy, and justice? Is mission about evangelism or compassion, mercy, and justice? Now, using the example I just gave you, you know the right answer. It's not an either or, it's a both and. Here's the problem. For the past 120 years or so, in the Christian church in North America, this has become a dividing thing. For Christians in North America, if you do your American church history, you will see that there's this divide among Christians. Some guy, no. Mission is about telling people the good news. And there's other people who go, no, mission is about doing compassion, mercy, and justice. And they've become separated. The Christian community has become so divided over this. The either-or approach to understanding mission leads to great division. And it leads to a compromised gospel. Show me someone that concludes that mission is only about telling people the good news of Jesus Christ, that he was born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life, he taught many things, he did amazing miracles, he went to the cross, was crucified, dead and buried, but he rose from the grave and is coming again. And if we confess Jesus as Lord, then we have the opportunity to have our sins forgiven for our lives to go beyond the grave as well. If you show me someone that says that is the entirety of the gospel, but they do not practice compassion, mercy, and justice, I will show you someone with a very compromised gospel. On the flip side is equally true. Show me someone that says, you know what, all it is just doing good things, but they never tell the story and truth of Jesus, I'll show you a compromised gospel. This is why I love the fact as covenanters, we affirm a commitment to the whole mission of the church. It's interesting, those of you that have been doing the community Bible experience as a church, we're reading through the entire New Testament in 8 weeks. We started with Luke Acts. And I don't know if you noticed it, but when you're reading through Luke Acts, there's a place, it's actually, I think, chapter 10 of Luke, but those of you that are doing the community Bible experience know, there's no chapters or verses, so I think it's on page 10. You get this moment where Jesus is in a conversation with a teacher of the law, and this is where the conversation about the great commandment comes out. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is immediately followed by Jesus telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. There was the proclamation of truth right next to it, but be the neighbor. Do these things. Practice compassion, mercy, and justice. Because one without the other makes an incomplete gospel. Fortunately, we are about affirming a commitment to the whole gospel. Here's another one of those places that we tend to get into an either or rather than a both and. Evangelism versus discipleship. So what is mission about? Is it about evangelism or is it about discipleship? Now you probably already know the answer, but chances are there's some of you going, not so easy. We tend to think of evangelism and discipleship as an either or because we get caught up in a linear approach to how this works. How often do we think this way? This is how it works. The gospel is proclaimed, and the person makes a decision to be a believer and follower of Jesus. Then what do? We then walk with them and teach them how. Discipleship. And sometimes it works that way. I would argue most of the time it doesn't. Most of the time, we're doing discipleship all the way through. In fact, whenever I look at this construct of evangelism or discipleship, I go, how can you separate the two? Discipleship is evangelism. Evangelism is discipleship. They go together. Again, if you've been doing the community Bible experience, then one of the beauties of reading large sections of scripture is you get to see how Jesus is working. He does discipleship the entire time. He comes up to those 12 that we call the disciples. He says, hey, come follow me. And they do. And they walk with him. And he teaches them. And he shows them. And they laugh together. And they cry together. And Jesus goes, how long, you guys? But they do this for 3 years. And at some point during those 3 years, those disciples, not all at the same time, come to places where they confess Jesus is the Messiah. And even then, they don't fully understand, but Jesus continues to walk with them. And if you remember the last words of the Great Commission, and surely I will be with you even to the end of the age. In other words, his spirit remains with us because he continues to disciple us. It is a long process. In fact, I want to create a new word. Evangelship. Discipleism. I don't know. But this idea that the two things go together. May we never be the church that says, oh, we're an evangelism church. We're not a discipleship church. Or say, oh, we're a discipleship church. We're not really the evangelists. As if they're somehow different. It's not an either or, it's a both and. I got another one for you. But before we get to that one, we need to play a game. And this game is Find the Missionary. All right, you guys ready to play Find the Missionary? In a moment on the screen, there will be 9 pictures. Your job, find the missionary. Are you guys ready? Okay, here we go. Find the missionary. Now, because you are an above average group of people, you probably already know the answer to this little game. But let's be honest, how many of us, when we looked at all 9 of these images and the challenge was find the missionary, were drawn to those two? Oh yeah, look at that guy, obviously a third world context, standing up teaching people the good news. Ooh, that looks like an orphanage down at the bottom. That's obviously mission work. But we know the answer. In the Find the Missionary, there they are. That's the mission. Those are the missionaries. The person working in a cubicle is a missionary. The people in a senior home, they're missionaries. A small group, yeah, that's mission work. 2 guys talking over a fence, just talking with their neighbor, yeah, that's a missionary. The person in a third world context, you know, doing a teaching, that's mission work. A high school classroom, mission work. Guys just out on the job, mission work. A youth group, mission work. An orphanage, mission work. See, there is one more either or that we should be approaching as a both and. And here it is. Support missionaries or be a missionary? Yes. Too often we reduce mission to the support of missionaries. Here's the thing. As long as I am pastor of this church, we will continue the rich history of supporting missionaries. With our praying, with our financial gifts, we will continue to support missionaries, vocational missionaries. We will do that. But if we think that the sending of prayers and money is the conclusion of our mission activity, we have failed to understand a commitment to the whole mission of the church. It doesn't stop there because you are a missionary. You are a missionary. Again, you cannot call yourself a follower of Jesus and then say, but I'm not a missionary. As a church, we are trying to create opportunities for you to be involved in mission. We'll continue to provide ways for you to support and pray for missionaries, but we also are providing ways for you to be a missionary. 3, 2, 1. Yes, you hear me talk about it often because I can think of few ways for you to be more effective missionaries than to take 3, 2, 1 seriously. Identify 3 people that you're already in relationship with. that are currently not following Jesus, and your job becomes bless them, care for them, love them, learn their story. And if they ever ask, be willing to share your story. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. That's out of 1 Peter 3. And again, one of these days, I might just do it to you. I might just come up to you and go, hey, what are the name of your threes? If we're unable to answer that on the spot, we have reduced mission to something somebody else does. Two, identify two people that you're in relationship with that are currently following Jesus, that you're mentoring, that you're caring for. And identify one person that is mentoring you. 3, 2, 1. One of the other ways that we are providing opportunities for you to participate in mission is with Parker Whitney Elementary School. Doug and Hilvi Osella have stepped up to provide leadership for our Parker Whitney ministries. Here's the thing. Their job is not to be the missionaries to Parker Whitney on our behalf. Their job is to provide opportunities for you to participate in mission. At the end of every school year, we should be able to ask the question as a congregation, how were you a blessing to Parker Whitney this year? And it might be one of those ones where you go, oh, I was able to adopt one of the teachers. Oh, I participated in one of the prayer walks. Oh, I was able to partner with their canned food drive. Oh, we're doing a lunch for the teachers. This is one way I'm helping. There might be in the future an opportunity for us to partner with them because they might need people to listen to kids read. They might be opening their doors for us to come in there so that we can listen to kids read. That is mission. That is significant mission. Mexico, we have been in relationship with a community in Mexico for over 25 years, and we'll continue to provide ways for you to be involved with that. Plus, there are countless other mission opportunities to support and pray for. Dale is now heading up our missions team, and one of the things that's on his heart is to provide kind of a monthly opportunity for you to be praying for one of our missionaries, to be informed about the ministry that they are doing, and then you can be praying more specifically for them. How are you participating in mission beyond simply the support, but by you doing? So I guess the question becomes this. How is the third affirmation evident in your life? How is it evident that you as an individual, you as a couple, you as a family, affirm a commitment to the whole mission of the church? In what ways have you reduced mission to an either or instead of a both and? What does evangelism discipleship look like in your context? What does compassion, mercy, justice, evangelism look like in your context? How are you supporting and being a missionary? When we send out teams, we will bring the team that we're sending out, we'll bring them up here, and we'll hear about what they're going to be doing, and then they'll answer some questions, and we pray for them, and they go. Would you please stand? Because today is a day that we send you. You are the mission team. Congratulations. We're going to do a responsive reading together as we prepare to be sent out. I remember when my youth pastor, I must have been about 14 years old, asked me to help him with a project. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Wait, Jeff trusts me to be part of this thing. How cool is that? Have you ever stopped to consider that the Lord God Almighty has invited you to be part of his project? And we get to do that? Will you join me in this responsive reading? You'll notice that it says pastor and then it says missionaries. Guess what? You're the missionaries. Covenanters, like all Christians, are called to proclaim this good news with their lives and words and by the love and integrity of their communities. In acts of generosity and compassion, people are ministered to and justice is proclaimed.
In the work of evangelism and mission, we seek to embody the presence of Jesus Christ with head, hands, voice, and heart.
Jesus called on his disciples to carry their own crosses.
And in this joyful way of suffering and service, we embody his ministry of reconciliation and proclaim the reality of the kingdom, which extends to every person and every land and to the whole of creation.
The Covenant Church, therefore, is committed to teaching, reaching across boundaries of race, ethnicity, culture, gender, age, and status in cultivation of communities of life and service.
This mission belongs to the whole church, the spiritual priesthood of all believers, women and men, young and old, laity and clergy.
Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." God, your people are hungry.
God, send me.
God, your people need help. God, we know you need someone to go.
God, send me.
God, we know you need someone to be a light in a dark world.
God, send me.
May the grace, peace, and wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ go with us as we serve. Amen.